Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're going to get back in our Father's Word. How fantastic this book of Proverbs. It's a book of comparisons. In other words, God gives you the good and He gives you the bad. You make the choice. Entirely up to you. Now the last chapter, chapter 11, had to do with neighbors and how you would get along with neighbors and so forth. This time it's vocation. It's family and whatever maybe your vocation is, that's what this chapter addresses. So without further ado, our Father's wisdom we ask in Yeshua's name. Chapter 12, verse 1, the great book of Proverbs, verse 1 reads, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." The prime in the Hebrew for brutish is stupid. Okay, because, you know, a person that won't take instructions, where do they always end up at? Well, unfortunately, with young people, sometimes it's drugs. And that's stupid. Okay, you get your old brain fried and reworked and everything, and you're not going very far. But a one who loves instructions to know how to do something right, to know how to be successful, then you have a person that's looking for knowledge, and that knowledge will stay with you. Verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. In other words, it's just a natural thing. Right? God loves His children, and God created His children for His pleasure. And a good man gives God pleasure. But a man of wicked devices will He condemn. And so it is. Every act, everything. You know, here you have the good and you have the bad. And that bad, when God condemns you, and you're even supposed to condemn a person of wicked devices, okay? When it comes near you, you're supposed to step in and condemn also. But most of all, God does as well. And so, you know, what's the choice? Well, failure or success. Verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, your root is your foundation, okay? And when you plant that root by running water, that is to say good water, and when we make the equivalent of this in the Spirit, in truth, when you establish your roots into God's Word, that is right and that's wrong, then what it's saying is, if you're righteous, and to be righteous simply means to do what's right, okay? And anyone intuitively, if you're a Christian, intuitively you know right from wrong. It's just like that. And one that chooses righteousness will be rooted in the Word of God. And that's immovable. It can't be moved. It's God's truth, and you are guaranteed God's blessings. A man that is rooted in righteousness can hold his own anywhere, anytime, any place. Okay? With Satan or any of Satan's devices. Doesn't matter. Bring it on. Verse 4. A virtuous woman, that's to say a worthy or a brave woman, is a crown to her husband. It's an honor to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. In other words, it saps his strength. And it destroys the union, that is to say, the marriage, so to speak. Verse 5. The thoughts, or you might say the aims, of the righteous are right. That's all righteousness is doing what's right. And you aim to set out and do what's right. But the counsel of the wicked are deceit. They twist everything. They'll even lay awake at night trying to figure out ways to deceive people. And unfortunately, when that runs into the spiritual in the very end times, we have to deal with the false Christ. And his name is deceit. Okay. Verse 6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. That's all they think about. Okay. And to lie in wait means they plan how to take advantage of people. rather than if they spend as much time and brain energy thinking of what is right rather than how to rip somebody off, then they would be far better off down the road. I have experienced in my lifetime some of the most intelligent and sharpest people I know are crooks. And they should know, they're sharp in the ways of the world, in other words. By that I mean, if had they changed the direction of that wisdom to God's wisdom, which is true wisdom, they'd have really been somebody. But the way it is, they all ended up in the gutter, you know, and so it is. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The mouth of the upright not only saves themselves, but it saves others. Why? Because they have good counsel. They can give good advice. And so it is. So again, here in Proverbs, we have this comparison. You can go do it like the wicked, or you can do it like the good, and God tells you exactly what will happen to you, whichever way you choose. The choice is yours. Don't try to blame God, and don't try to blame somebody else. You live your own life, and if you take it on the rocks, hey, have a good trip. Okay. When you teach God's Word, that's where your problem ends. It's what people do with it. That's their business. If they choose the bad, hey, have a good trip. But if they choose the good, you're going to see a successful person. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not. Here, they're blotted out. But the house of the righteous shall stand. In other words, ultimately, when it comes down to the end times, when God blots somebody out, as it is written in Revelation 22, even their memory is gone. It's the same as though they never existed when they enter that lake of fire. They are not, in other words. Verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. A man should be praised according or commended in what he does according to his wisdom. But he that is of a perverse heart, that's crooked, shall be despised. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to be around them. Why, who would? Who wants to put up with nonsense when you have the Word of God, the surety of the Word of God? And you want to deal with a bunch of dreamers, nonsense? No way. Verse 9. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. This needs a little bit of work. What it means is, translate the word despised as little noticed. In other words, he's not bragging all the time, not building himself up. He that is little noticed and hath a servant is better off than he that honoreth himself. Yeah, I got this, and I got 40 here and 40 there, and I got this over here, and he's got nothing. Okay. Absolutely got nothing. But to listen to him talk, you would think he owned the world. Okay. So one that kind of keeps quiet about what he has, sometimes he may have more than what one might think, or more than anything, but then he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. In other words, he puts on a show, and he doesn't even have enough to eat. Okay. But to hear him tell it, oh boy, you know. So it is. Verse 10. A righteous man, one that does right, regardeth the life of his beast. He's going to take care of his animals. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. They're cruel at heart. Don't ever hire a cowboy that's got blood on his spurs. Okay, that's, you can kind of cut the difference and take the slack right there. Okay, been there, seen it, done it. Know what I'm looking at. So don't ever hire somebody that's cruel to animals, because they're in their own heart, they're just as cruel to human beings, maybe more so. So it's one that disrespects God's creatures, that do their best. If you train an animal right, they'll love you, they'll follow you, they'll do their best for you. So when you see somebody that has to bloody their spurs, you're looking at a stupid person. that can't train an animal to start with. Why? Because the animal's smarter than they are. Well, are you judging people? I know for a fact. Been there, seen it. Verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. That's your labors will always come through for you, but you got to work at it, okay? But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. He's got no sense. You show me a man that has all the book learning in the world but no common sense, and I'll show you somebody that's a big disappointment to his family, to his neighborhood, to everybody. Because common sense is one of the most, that is God placed. That is understanding of life and humanity, of getting along with people. So, one that follows vain persons, it means people that it's empty, nothing there. Again, you don't want to listen to that old boy that claims he's got everything and take his advice. You take the advice from the most successful in the community when you move into an area, and you'll get it done. Verse 12. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. In other words, the wicked would rather have the entrapment of evil men, that's to say the fortress of evil men, than they would the root, again, one that puts his roots down in righteousness, it yields fruit. In other words, he's not only good for himself, but he has enough to even share with others. That means knowledge, wisdom, and even the labor of himself. Fruit means produce. Got that also. It's just good all the way around to do what's right, in other words. Verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. His mouth gets him in trouble every time. But the just shall come out of trouble. What? By his lips. By his knowledge and wisdom that he thinks, and his knowledge and wisdom gives him the lips to say what is useful at that moment to correct, fix, build up, comfort, whatever the case may be for the moment, for correction. And sometimes it must even be tough love. Sometimes when you see people on an ego trip, you got to punch a little hole in their balloon. Let them come on back down where God can start blessing them instead of them being vagabonds. Okay? You got to do it God's way. Or pay the consequences. That's just the way it is. And the wicked are snared by that. They just get, and their mouth puts them into it, claiming to be something they're not, and making big, loud accusations. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. A man reaps the results of his lips. Okay, that's your hands bring it in, and that's what makes it fruitful. If your lips are wicked and empty, vain, what are you going to harvest? Vanity. That means zero. But if your lips are productive, if you're wise, and you know how to make the land or anything else a business, whatever your vocation is, because this pertains to vocation, whatever, to make it successful, because your lips are not the ones that do that give the thought process, it's your spirit, it's your brain. It's how you think as to whether God blesses you or not. And if God doesn't bless you, if I were you, I'd take inventory and kind of change my ways. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I mean, he thinks he can do no wrong. Whatever he wants to do, it's right. Okay? But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, a sensible man or woman listens. They don't feel that they are God's gift to the world, that everything they do is right. Okay. Well, you need to do what God's Word tells you to do, how God's Word instructs you. You want to be respected? You want to be respected in your community? Be a good neighbor, like the last chapter insinuated or told us how. And in this chapter, your vocation. If you want to get along, then let your counsel be wise then. Verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. In other words, he ignores insults, and to heck with it. You don't have time for insults or to be insulted. Why? Because you're doing what's right. And a man's lips, and you need, and for your vocation, you need to take this very serious. And I'll just give a little short analogy. Let's say that you've decided you want to set up a little business, and you've got things. I mean, you've really got some of the best prices in town. It's really, I mean, it's attractive, very attractive. But a customer walks in, and your lips say, "What do you want?" Well, if it's me, I'm going to do a 180, and I'm out of there. I don't care how pretty or what his price is. I'm moving. Okay. His lips cost him a sale. Okay. Because his mind is not where it should be. Okay. That's an oversimplification, but you got the idea. A man's lips and how he is to get along with determines how successful you are in your vocation or family. Okay. The same applies. A fool's wrath, you can tell, he'll fly off the handle, just bang. You don't have to say hardly anything. He's madder than an old wet hen. And a wet hen can get pretty mad if you start messing with her chicks, okay? But a wise man doesn't fly off that away, fixes it, okay? Not going to get in that place anyway. 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. You're doing what's right. What is truth? Well, truth is the Word of God. But a false witness, deceit. If you go future, even to now, the false teachers in this world lead people to the first Messiah that shows up. Guess who it is? It's the false Messiah. Well, I've never heard of the false Messiah. Well, you've never read God's Word then. Period. You're in bad shape, friend. Because there's deception out there waiting to just scoop you up. God expects His people to wait for the true Messiah. Verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Man, I mean, there are some people that can just talk and it just cuts like a knife. Oh, you talk about a sharp tongue. You just love to be around a person like that, don't you? Okay. But the tongue of the wise is health. It's healing. It's comforting. And instructive, helpful, and will leave you knowing and loving mankind, your brother. But you take a sharp tongue, old stupid person, and they can cut it. That tongue can cut. Oh man, I mean, like a two-edged sword, which is what the tongue of Christ is. Only His is very healing. I'm quoting verse 16 of Revelation chapter 1. You all have experienced one that speaks with a sharp tongue like a sword. Okay, I don't have to say a whole lot about that. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. God's Word in truth will give you eternal life, that is forever, all the way into the kingdom. Okay. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Boy, just, I mean, a brief, because you're not going to be there. But if that's, you know, this is comparisons. You can choose either one of these you want. Okay. It's your choice. But don't complain to somebody else. You made the decision. If you're going to hell, just have a good trip and be silent about it, okay? It's your choice. Or you can be decent and have God's truth and be a decent person. That gives your Heavenly Father pleasure, which means He's going to bless you. Bless everything you touch just about. And if something comes along with trouble, hey, you can cut it. Can-do type people. Servants of God. Okay. Verse 20. Deceit, or I like to translate this fraud. Okay. Fraud is in the heart of them that imagine evil. That's all they think about. Okay. But to the counselors of peace is joy. That's what they think about. It's what brings pleasure. What brings joy. How to help people. How to prevent people being hurt. But fraud, when a person thinks of fraud, they're self-willed and self-righteous hypocrites that just think of self. They don't care about anybody else. The person, let's back up. I said, don't ever hire a cowboy with bloody spurs. You don't need them. For those of you that may not understand what I'm saying there, you know, you can train a horse, and all it takes is a touch. If they love you, all it takes is just a little touch, and they'll die for you. Okay, they would. You don't have to butcher them with spurs. Okay, I've seen it, and I hate to say it, I got in a bad fight one time over this, and the man and his own horse. Let me that as it may, I don't regret it. He had it coming. Okay, he had something bloody besides spurs when I got through with him. All right. He's an old man now, and so am I, but if he's listening, he'll sure remember it. All right, verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. In other words, nothing in vain is going to happen to someone that is just. Why? Because just means you justify everything before you step into it. And you know that you're not going to do something that brings mischief. Mischief is any time. I like a sense of humor, okay? And it's fantastic to have a sense of humor, but it isn't funny to injure someone's person or property. That's where humor stops. If you're saying something that's cutting like a knife to somebody, that's not fun, friend. You're having expense at somebody's very displeasure. That's an honest person doesn't do that, okay? But that's always brings mischief when you go overboard without thinking what you're saying, doing, or otherwise, and trying to do it by what's right. Okay. Verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Now, you remember back in the sixth chapter where we read of the six things that God hates and the seventh He considers an abomination? When God calls something an abomination, you better keep hands off of it. And naturally, the very thing, if you go back to chapter 6, verse 16, you'll find there that it says in that seventh that God considers to be an abomination, it's a troublemaker. One that goes in and stirs trouble using all of the six things that God hates to stir up trouble in a community, a family, or a business. A vocation. God considers that to be an abomination. So here, lying lips are the very part of the being that delivers that hurtful message. Okay. But truth brings to the Lord delight and pleasure. Always, you know, it's so much easier to take the right path than the wrong. And the rewards thereof, there's no comparison. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. In other words, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. In other words, if you are knowledgeable in God's Word, you know a couple of three languages even you can teach God's Word in, and your memory helps you memorize a great deal of God's Word, and you have a brand new person here, and what you want to do, you don't want to go to that brand new person and drop everything you know on that person, because they're not going to understand what you're talking about. True wisdom is to be able to take yourself and put yourself on the level of wherever this person is and bring them where you are. Okay, so it doesn't, when you're teaching a person, it doesn't matter how much you know. You don't have to convince that person that you're a great scholar of the Scriptures. Okay, just teach them the truth gently on a level in which they can understand, and you'll grow. This is called feeding the sheep, and if you feed the sheep, they will come. Okay, they'll be there. It's just like feeding cattle. You know, if you feed cattle or any animal a certain time of the day, guess what? Guess who's going to be there? They're always going to be there to eat. And if you're feeding them real God's Word, don't worry, they'll be there. Okay, but you don't have to show them. In other words, you conceal as much of your knowledge to go down and reach a tender ear, a person that's just starting. Okay, that's important, because many of us are guilty of that. And this is why I always say, don't overload their donkey. All right, just be gentle, courteous, and bring that person to truth. It's not important how important you are in your own mind. You can conceal your wisdom and give them what they need. Verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. What this is saying, the hand of the diligent, that's a person that's diligent in his work. He gets up here and humps it, gets it done. He always has the upper hand. He'll always rule. Slothful is lazy. A lazy person is always going to be a serf or under tribute, because they're not going anywhere. God does not appreciate lazy people. Okay, and he makes it very clear all through this great book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, we'll be getting to it in a few days. He says a slothful or a lazy person is like a set of hinges are to a door, only they're hinged to a mattress. They can just flop from one side to the other. Well, I'll get a job tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes, all right, to a lazy person. And God doesn't appreciate that. Doesn't appreciate it at all. They'll never have the upper hand. Never. Verse 25. Heaviness, this is weary, okay? Weary in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That's why that you always, with wisdom, want to have that good word that uplifts people, you know, that raises people up. You know, when I see a heavy heart, I have one scripture that I really love, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There's nothing ever happens to you that isn't common with everybody. You're nothing special. Happens to everybody. And God will never test you over what you're able to bear. You can cut it. And the best part of it in that verse, he says, I will always show you a way out. You're going through. If you love him, if you follow him, you will go through. You will have that victory. So don't have a heavy heart. Let the good word of God always be in your mind, working the blessings that God wishes upon his children. 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. In other words, the righteous is more excellent than the neighbor. It means he guides his neighbor, he helps his neighbor. But the wicked seduceth, means he lead them astray, give them bad advice. Verse 27, the slothful, that's to say a lazy man, roasteth not that which he took in the hunting. Why? Because he's too darn lazy to even go hunting in the first place. He's not going to have anything to roast. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. In other words, when the substance is that what he starts, he obtains. And so it is. A lazy person roasting what he hunts, he never goes hunting. So he's never roasting. He never has anything to roast. So he's always hungry. I get a job tomorrow. I'll go hunting tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes for a lazy person. Verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life. That means eternal life. Do you want it? What is it just said? If you do what's right, you will have eternal life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. In other words, you have immortal. You are immortal. You live forever. You go right to the Father in heaven, and heaven being right here on earth, and you live in eternity in bliss, in God's blessings. You know, common sense is a valuable thing. Common sense is to choose the right path, and the right path is the path that you take to stay in God's Word, to be pleasing to animals, kind to animals, to be now there are certain animals that you want to be careful of. You don't go petting lions, okay, because you're not Daniel and you're not in the lion's den, okay. So there are certain animals that you respect. God created everything for a purpose. Recognize that. Keep that wisdom. And again, be a good neighbor. And in your vocation, do it better than anybody else. Using common sense, you don't have to tell people how good you are. Just show them. And you'll always be successful. What a fantastic chapter. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, all Hawaii, and all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, please share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, religion, or organization. Let's don't judge people. All you do is teach God's Word chapter by chapter and let the chips fall wherever they may. God is the judge. He doesn't need your help in that. Just if you have the right for discernment to know who you should and should not be around, and you use that. Always pick the right way. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. You know why? Because God knows what you're thinking. In the Greek, He's the heart knower. He knows what you're in your heart, your mind, what you're thinking even. And you know something? He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. Why? You're unique. You're a child of God. He loves you, but He may not love what you're doing. What He wants from you, as is documented in Hosea 6:6, is your love. Okay? doesn't want your burnt offerings. He wants your love. Let him know that you love him. It pays great dividends. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, questions. And we're going to get right into them here. Pat from Arizona. I would like to know where it is in the Bible that says God will tear down America. I heard this on TV. Well, you should be more careful what TV you listen to. God blesses America. And God will always bless America. This is why that she's the superpower of superpowers in these end times. This is why that we have license to teach God's word around the world from the United States of America. All right? Well, is she mentioned in God's word? Well, wouldn't it be strange if God didn't mention the superpower of superpowers in the end generation, the generation of the fig tree? I would think so. You see, you've been listening to some garbage of some crackpot that might think America's Babylon. Well, we got a few bad apples, but that's all right. We know how to throw bad apples out of the barrel, too. This happens to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And our people are too intelligent to let some nut crackpot try to think about destroying America. We'll vote them right out of being. Gerald from Louisiana. I've been watching you on TV Monday and Friday. I really love the way you teach chapter by chapter. Well, thank you. I try to live better understanding of the Bible with your help. I heard you say that the world could not touch one hair on the chosen or elect's head, but in Mark chapter 13, verse 9, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils in the synagogues, and you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for my name's sake, is what it says against them. Sounds like the elect are going to be roughed up a little bit. Not browbeaten if you were to let it. But this is why Luke 21 says, not one hair on your head can be touched. Why? God, you're not doing the talking in Mark 13. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. And it's written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say. Now, you know what scares some people? It says, mother will betray the daughter to death. Death is Satan, okay? He's the Antichrist. And it is true. If some mother thinks he's Jesus, they think he is the Christ, she'll go to him because she loves her daughter and say, save my poor daughter. She thinks you're the false Christ. And she'll turn you right into him. She'll deliver you up to death, which is the devil. But that doesn't mean you're going to die. You live forever. Why? You're God's child. So, bring it on. We can cut it. Okay? We can handle it. Don't even... understand this. Satan, as the false Christ, is trying to save people, and he's not butchering people. Got it? The whole world would know he was a fake if he started hurting people. Robert from Louisiana. I've got a question for Pastor Arnold. Are the angels that followed Satan in the first earth age Kenites? Is it possible that Esau was one? No. A third of God's children followed Satan in the first earth age. That's written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Okay. And Satan drew them. That's why God destroyed the first earth age and brought this age into being. And there a third of God's angels would, which is people, okay, when God would say, let us create man in our image. In other words, a flesh body looks just like the spiritual body, only it's made in flesh. And so it was that born innocent of woman to make your mind up which you're going to choose. You're going to love God or you're going to love Satan, okay? There's only a few Kenites, but there were a lot of children that followed Satan in the first earth age. That's why, as teaching, we're going to try to save all we can right out of the fire. Julie and Joe from Colorado. If we pass on and Jesus comes and we are with him, is this when the judgment starts? I'm confused as to when the judgment starts. Please answer.
Well,
the great white throne judgment does not take place until the end of the millennium. And the millennium is the Lord's day. Be not ignorant of this one thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. That one day with the Lord is as a thousand years with man. That's the Lord's day.
Okay.
It is the millennium. And then following the millennium, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20, then comes the great white throne judgment. What is written in the book of life, right there, your name is in it, and everything you haven't repented of is there, and everything you've done good is there.
Okay.
It's your record. And he's got it.
Okay.
And that's what puts you on one side of the gulf or the other. Katrina from Indiana. In the acts of self-defense, protection of family, protection of public, restaurant, malls, terrorist acts, if at all, how will their judgment be determined since the commandment of the law says, thou shalt not kill? Please educate or enlighten. Thank you and God bless you. Well, there, you see, you know there's something wrong, don't you? Because that's not what it says in the Hebrew manuscripts. It says, you shall do no murder. There's a great deal of difference in protecting our nation or our family than there is in murdering someone. Jesus himself in the great book of Matthew says, I don't change one jot of the law. You see, it's Deuteronomy chapter 19 that says if somebody takes a life deliberately by lying in wait, that's premeditation, hang him.
Okay?
Send him up to me, God says, and I'll give him his real trial. And that's what. And these things will cease to happen among you. A lot of people say, well, why is it that God lets people get away with stuff? Because we got a lot of stupid parents, for one thing, that do not take care of their children the way they should, or their families. You know, don't ever let someone break into your house and molest your family. Always be prepared to have the upper hand. Okay, you get if nothing else, get you a bodyguard if the law of your land will allow it. They're called Smith and Wesson. Okay, and they're real good bodyguards. They will help you out. Okay, but know what you're doing. Take proper training. There are many ranges, gun ranges in this nation, and they will always be more than happy to help you train and so forth and give you advice. Jesus said, if you kill, the word in the Greek is phonios. It means criminal homicide, which means to lie in wait. You're going to pay for it. Okay? And if we allow, you know, some Christians, you get to burn little candles when we're about to execute somebody that murdered a 12-year-old girl. And they call themselves Christians and they're down marching because we're about to croak one of these rascals. You know, it's a time to celebrate, okay, that we're getting rid of one of them. Well, what about the 12-year-old girl, what she went through when he raped her and murdered her? You want to burn a candle for that too? You know, thou shalt do no murder. So protect your family. You know, it is written in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that a man that won't protect his family is worse than an infidel. And I believe it. Connie from North Carolina. My husband's wishes when he died were to be buried in a certain place, and the only way I could afford that was to cremate him and take him there. Will he forgive me for that? It has bothered me a lot. No problem whatsoever. What does the word say? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. When this old clay pot breaks and we die, the silver cord parts, this flesh body goes back to dirt. Doesn't matter how it gets there, because we've got a much better body that steps right out of this and lives forever. He will hug your neck for it, okay? No problem whatsoever. People on fixed incomes, cremation is fine because it's a lot less expensive. Don't go in debt over fancy funerals because they're already gone. They're with the Father. And all we have is the remains of the flesh body. And It doesn't matter. It's going back to dirt, and as Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says, it's not coming out of there again. Well, I've heard that the dead rise first. You got it. They're already gone. All right? First, Georgia from Pennsylvania. When God turned the water into wine, was it actual wine? I have other Christians who think it wasn't an actual fermentation wine. It was more like grape juice, and to me that doesn't seem right. Well, you would seem right as correct. Go to the book of John and read it again for yourself. It says, when they were drunk, that word drunk means intoxicated. Grape juice will not intoxicate you. That perfect wine that Christ performed, but it means so much more than that. The process of fermentation is that all dregs leak, and you have that pure wine, which is His blood. And that was what that was symbolic of. It was the first miracle He performed. Caroline from South Carolina. I am 84 years old, a widow living on Social Security. I had no insurance on my husband. I have four pictures of Jesus in my home. One is a young boy, one praying in the garden, one also as a grown man with a sad look in his eyes, one with the words at the top, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't worship them or pray to them. Is it all right for me to keep them? I've had them all my life almost. Well, you hang on to them, Caroline. Don't you ever let anybody talk you out of it. Nothing becomes an idol until you worship it. And you don't worship the pictures to help you remember our Lord Jesus Christ and the gift He gave us, which is salvation. Okay? Don't you ever apologize for that. You're doing good. You tell them Pastor Murray said so. Okay? If anyone gives you any problem with it. David from Arkansas. When we are in heaven before the judgment day, will the good and bad still have free will? Thank you so much for your true teaching. Well, thank you for the comment. Judgment, we have free will. Let me correct one thing. Those that take part in the first resurrection, it wouldn't even a matter of, you could call it free will if you wanted to, but they've already overcome. But all the rest have free will to do as they please, okay? Because the second resurrection and the second judgment doesn't take place until the end of the millennium. And, well, are you saying there's a second chance? They didn't have a chance coming out the gate because nobody ever taught them, okay? Jay from Florida. Is it wrong to glean the corners of the field, especially in hard times, sharing and sparing to feed your own kids and so forth? Leviticus 19:10. Well, now let's get something straight here, okay? The gleaning didn't take place until after the owner had harvested the crop. Okay. You got that? And then with his permission. So don't just go out and jump in a corner of somebody's patch, whether it's watermelon or whatever it is, and start gathering. You got to wait until he harvests his crop and leaves whatever is there. That's why it's called gleanings. It's what was overlooked and what was missed. And if it's all right with him, I know a lot of times with these automatic bean pickers that they have anymore, when you run one of those things through, you can take a bushel basket out there. If they'll let you glean and get you a bushel of beans pretty quick, okay? But always get permission. Don't just, and it's after the harvest, not before. Let him do his own harvesting and then do your gleaning with his permission or her permission. Chad from Missouri. I heard you say that God hates Russia because they are atheists. And he loves America and the rest of the world. I don't understand how you can say that Jesus has hate in his heart for anyone. Thank you very much, Pastor Marie, and God bless you. Well, he sure does, but that, you didn't hear me say that, okay? You have heard me say, if you were listening, that the people of Russia that are Christian, they're fantastic people. They go down and saw through 2 foot of ice to baptize. You don't find too many Christians like that in this nation. Okay. But naturally, when a government And that's what I was talking about. The government that drives away God or puts God out of a country is naturally, it's predicted long ago. You can read of it in Genesis chapter 25 through 27. It was prophesied a long time ago that they would live away from God. It was Esau's people. Okay, so don't ever classify a country all and all as people. God does not like communism, okay, because it teaches people against God, okay, that there is no God. And naturally, would that let's say if one of your kids come home, Chad, and started telling the community that you didn't exist, you didn't have a father, that old man that was here just thought, how would you feel about that? Well, God doesn't like it either. Sharon from Michigan, I need to know if God is healing today in 2008 or not, and if my kids are do bad things, will that stop God from healing my body, like selling drugs, but not out of my house? I've not been a Christian all my life or a good person all my life. Well, Sharon, now you just know that when you repent, when you anoint yourself with olive oil and ask God to heal you, He still heals. And as it is written in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29, God, if a child bites a sour grape, it doesn't set the father's teeth on edge, meaning each of us pays for our own sin. You do not pay for the sins of your children, okay? And you just hang in there and ask God to heal you. And He's still... Don't ever let anybody tell you God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever, okay? Now, just ask if it be His will. That's one of the main things you want to always ask. God is putting an army together up in heaven to come back here and straighten this mess out, along with the help of God's elect. So always pray in His will. Frank from Virginia, I also have a question I would like your opinion on. Big oil companies with the high prices of oil drive the prices of food and gas and electricity. Al Gore, blame Al Gore. It's his fault. Okay. His malarkey of global warming has run everything up, and there's no such thing. It's colder than it was before, and he's over here whistling Dixie, okay? He's, talk about ignorance and the height of ignorance. And I'm, well, are you judging him? No, it's teaching what he's done to us. But don't blame the big oil companies. It's the oil cartel that our Congress will not let us drill, will not let us build a refinery, as much oil and gas as we use, until if we were to go into war as big as World War II was, we would be hard-pressed, very hard-pressed, because we're not equipped for it. We have to depend on foreign nations for oil and other things. So we have plenty of oil until we find a better source, that is to say, of energy. And you take even atomic energy. It's safe when wisdom prevails. And it would help a lot of things. So, you know, in this country, we expect people to make money, and they're having to pay plenty for a barrel of oil, okay? And so you don't want to blame them. That cartel is holding us up big time. And so you want to be real careful with the OPEC nations. They're living high on the hog, I'll tell you for sure. Boy, that would upset them, wouldn't it? They don't eat hog. Pam from Connecticut, how do you redeem yourself after doing something wrong? Is it just through prayer? Well, prayer helps, but hey, prayer is talking to God. He's your Father. And He's very intelligent. He understands what you're saying, and you're supposed to repent. Repenting has two parts. That is to say, you're sorry for what you did, it gets you in trouble all the time, and that you love Him and you repent of it. And then talk to Him, just simply tell Him you do. He's in the business of forgiving. You're His child. Just like when one of your children come to you and you corrected them, ask your forgiveness and they crawl up and hug your neck and say, Mama, please forgive me, or Daddy, please forgive me, you're going to do it, okay, with correction. Well, that's the way our Father operates. Talk to Him. You don't need me or anyone else to get between you and the Father. When Jesus died on the cross, He rent that Holy of Holies veil from top to bottom and said, come on in. You don't need some preacher to go into the Holy of Holies. Just walk boldly right in there and say, I need you. I need to talk to you a minute, and do it. Okay? Marcus from Texas. There are people today who claim to be prophets. Are there only prophets in the Bible? And if so, who are these people claiming they're prophets? You've got a lot of people claiming to be a lot of things. It's a bunch of malarkey. Okay? Now, sons and daughters, both in the end times when the Antichrist appears, will prophesy, but it'll be the Holy Spirit prophesying through them. Be very, very careful. Everything a prophet says always comes to pass exactly the way it's written. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. You know, when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. Now, we are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, hey, I want you to listen to me now. Most important, that you stay in His Word every day in scattered abroad.